Most of us who live here in the Western Hemisphere have been used to an instant gratification, a gotta have it now way of life. Exhibiting patience when expecting something to happen quickly and efficiently can be extremely difficult. But within God's world, God has called his own to exercise this pretty uncommon virtue to build one another up, all for his glory. On today's Keeping It Real, Tatiana Dunnett and I will elevate the value of patience, expound on the Apostle Paul's call for Christians to be patient with one another, and all the while sharing our own learning in the school of hard knocks on this important matter. Have you been struggling in the patience department? Has there been something or someone that has brought you to your wit's end? Hang in there. Help is on the way in this Keeping It Real episode, A Test of Patience. Do a Keeping It Real episode. How politically correct could it be here? Put it in street lingo to know how to roll as a Christian. And it is another edition of the Keeping It Real podcast. And today I've got another conversation partner on with me, no stranger, very prime conversation partner to the podcast, that being Tatiana Dunnett, who I call TD, not for touchdown, but for her initials and her name. And today we're going to be talking about a test of patience. And Tatiana, if there was ever a show that I thought that you and I would never do, it would be a show on patience, because you and I have, I don't think we've graduated with a summa cum laude in the area of patience. But when you and I were discussing shows to do or upcoming shows to do some time ago, you picked this one, and I thought, I'm not going to say no to that. I'm not going to give a no vote to that because I want to see where this goes. And we're going to be looking at a passage of scripture in Ephesians chapter 4, which I think is going to be helpful for all of the people listening, including you and I, because incidentally, a lot of people, especially here in the West, I don't think are experts at patience. We live in a very fast-paced, gotta have it now society. And so I don't think many folks growing up here in the Western Hemisphere are too keen on developing patience, or certainly haven't advanced in the air in this area. But of course, we've got to be able to be level-headed in an ever crazier world. And you and I, as well as many listening, perhaps all listening, can attest to that. We live in an ever crazier world. See it on the news. We see it on social media, but we certainly experience it firsthand. Can you describe a recent episode where your patience was tested or stretched, if you will, and what may have been a learning piece coming off of that experience?
just one?
Yeah, I mean it's just about a 45-minute show here,
Yeah,
TD. I
no,
mean,
I
it can't
know.
go on for hours. I mean,
Oh man, I think there's multiple experiences daily that I go through where where the Lord kind of checks me in regards to my lack of spirit of patience for sure. And I will say, I think being the mother of a young, active child who is at the age where boundaries are being pushed and buttons are being tested and all those things, it's so easy to lose kind of the script of what's happening in the moment. And for the most part, our days go without much pomp and circumstance, very standard schedule. We run very, our days are very pretty much the same. But there's just some moments where things just go completely awry, and I have to really check myself and try to not react in a way that is Not productive in regards to either correcting my child or teaching or just in the way that I respond. And so I do find, at least in this age that we're dealing with right now, my patience is not as strong as it should be. And I want to make sure that I am demonstrating a good sense of patience and responsiveness to my child, because in return, that gets respond, you know. My little one mimics my own responses, and then I get frustrated when it mirrors my lack of care, I guess. So yeah, parenting every day is
Oh,
a
for
test
sure.
or revealing a lack thereof for sure.
Yeah. Well, there's any one of spheres that we can cite. It could be a workplace situation. I know that you deal with the area of speech therapy, and you've got your students, and you're dealing with parents, and I'm sure that can be very challenging and trying. There's community-oriented things, especially you living up there in Canada. I don't know how you've got to have developed some sort of patience through the years, you living in Canada and it being like minus 5,000 degrees. And you guys are trying to, figure out how to basically, or you're have adjusted on how to become almost like an Eskimo, per se. And
Long, long winters for sure.
yeah. So, there's all kinds of things we can cite. I'll stay with the parental thing. I have a teenager who is arriving rather close to driving age. So just even the thought of that has had to produce or develop some sort of patience within me. And then her enthusiasm for getting closer to driving age kind of adds some gas to that fire. Especially when I hear that she took for fun, a driver simulating, sat in one of those driver simulators they have now at school, and said that she was crashing into all kinds of things. And I'm thinking to myself, and
Oh
you
no.
are anxious, you are looking forward to driving. And I'm like, if you can't even handle a driving simulator, how are you going to handle driving in the real world? But
Please don't do that on a railroad. Thank you.
yeah, but this is where we're heading towards, and the thermostat on that keeps going up as each day goes by and it gets closer to that. So I, of course, have to develop not only patience with her, but then I have to develop patience on the broad scale. Because, of course, then comes into play all of the things such as adding her to insurance, and there's an added expense. And, I have to be able to exhibit patience and walk in patience with the Lord, knowing that, there's going to be provisions met for this, especially if it's meant for her to drive. And I can see how there would be some advantages to her driving. So I don't have to do all the driving anymore.
Absolutely.
So, but those are some ordinary, keeping it real kind of illustrations, letting the listening audience know that we're not a couple of stiffs sitting up in here. We are parents, we're working people, we're citizens like many, if perhaps all of the people listening to this podcast. So, we're not just removed from society, we're very much in the trenches of it. Can you now cite an example moving from the 21st century? Can you cite an example back in scriptural times of someone, a man or a woman of God, who lacked patience in the midst of a heated situation?
There's quite a few, absolutely. And I had one in mind, and then another one just came to mind as you were saying that. So, I would say Mary and Martha, a great example of, one individual who was sitting and just taking time with the Lord and soaking in everything that he's saying and just being present. And then you have the other individual who was, hurriedly trying to get everything ready in the kitchen, and she's flustered because she's not getting help from her sister, and she's, Mary sitting and Martha's in the kitchen, and she's like, Lord, are you going to tell her to get up and help me? Like, I'm in here trying to prepare all these things and I can't get it done, and it needs to be done at a certain time. And the Lord's like, She's got the right idea. Why don't
Hmm.
you like sit down and chill out, basically? Like it'll get done. Nobody's in a rush here. Like just take time to like, stop being all over the place. And so I love that example because it feels so relatable in the sense that we struggle with everyday expectations and responsibilities and deadlines, and we sometimes feel pressured to scramble and hurry up and get it done. And so many times the Lord is just asking us to like, well, what about me? Have you taken your time to open up the scriptures? Have you taken your time to talk to me? Have you taken time to just, give thanks for this new morning? What about me? And then the rest of your day can happen. And I am so convicted of that nearly on the daily because I wake up and my day starts and it's a chaos from morning until night. Again, mother of a young child, it's just, I'm not nonstop go, go, go. And so many times the Lord is like, but have you spent time with me? So I love that example because
Yeah,
I
he's after
find
fellowship, isn't he? It's a, you know, it's koinonia in the Greek, but really the root meaning is connection, to bond, to connect, to kind of have camaraderie. And so I love that illustration as well. I'm going to kind of shift gears a little bit and zero in on one of Peter's low points in his life. He had a few. And in the Garden of Gethsemane, he had instructed them to pray, and his inner circle, they couldn't even stay awake. You know, they couldn't stay awake to pray. But then when he was betrayed and he was taken, you know, by the Pharisees and those that came to get him, and he was ultimately betrayed by Judas. Judas led them to him, and Peter's like, "This ain't happening." He gets a sword out and chops a guy's ear off.
This was
Now,
the other example I had in my mind. That's
yeah,
really
well, he
funny.
chops the guy's ear off. And see, the thing is, the biblical scholarly train of thought is most scholars believe that he cut the guy's ear off because he just had bad aim and missed his head. So, kind of gives you a feel, if there's truth to that, how intense his spirit of impatience really was, and how, you know, he wasn't waiting, he wasn't hanging out to see how this was going to play out. I mean, they hadn't done really anything too bad with the Lord yet. They just took him. I mean, the beating, the flogging, the crown of thorns on his head, none of that had happened yet. And let's see how this plays out. And of course, if he had listened to the Lord, for the 3.5 years that he hung out with him, he would have come to gather that this was his time. All along, he said his time had not yet come, his time had not yet come. Now there is a serious change up to what had transpired, or what had been moving along, or how things had been going for the last 3.5 years. And now all of a sudden there's a serious traumatic event that is a switch up from the way that things had gone. And Peter didn't take 2 seconds to even ponder what is going on here. The sword came out and off the battle we go, you know?
Peter was very reactive. He
Yes.
just never stopped to think. He just responded in the absolute moment.
Yeah, and you know, I can kind of relate with that because how many times in my life have I done that? You know, I'm
We're all reactive at
way more
some point
fingers and toes to count those
or
instances.
another.
So a couple of good scriptural examples, and again, to help the listening audience know that if you have lost patience a time or two, or a
Alone.
lot more, you're not alone in this. You know, I mean, and these are great people of faith. Their faith was made known. God was really at work in their lives, but there were instances where they lacked patience. So it's just kind of like get in line, right? Join the club kind of thing. It's not to excuse our times of lacking patience, but we can learn from these things and how people, even within the scriptures, lacked patience at times. What can we learn from it? How can we grow from it? How can we apply it to our own lives? All right. Ephesians chapter 4, verses 1 through 3 is what we're going to be looking at today in this episode of Keeping It Real, A Test of Patience, Being Level-Headed in an Ever Crazier World. Now, the town of Ephesus, just to give a quick background before you cue that up, Tatiana, before you read that, Ephesus was a coastal town, rather large town. It was a busy and happening place. And actually, Paul visited there after he visited Corinth. And you can see on a map how he crossed over the Mediterranean there. So it was a port city and it was pretty densely populated and it was a popular city for a lot of importing and exporting to be done. So this was a happening place. So when we think of referring back to a biblical perspective or trying to put ourselves back at a biblical time, there were some happening times there too. Busy times didn't just start in 21st century America with all the technology and all the capabilities that we have and all of the issues that we have. Times were busy back then too. And that gives us a little bit of a framework as we approach looking at this passage in Ephesians chapter 4, verses 1 through 3. You want to go ahead and read those.
Sure. And I am reading from the New Living Translation, and it's titled Unity in the Body of Christ. Therefore, I, a prisoner for serving the Lord, beg you to lead a life worthy of your calling, for you have been called by God. Always be humble and gentle. Be patient with each other, making allowance for each other's faults because of your love. Make every effort to keep yourselves united in the Spirit, binding yourselves together with peace.
All right. So now the first question I have coming off of the heels of reading that, starting in verse one, there's a mentioning of a calling. Paul says, he doesn't just say, he pleads with them. He uses the language, I beg you to lead a life worthy of your calling. How do we identify what the Lord has called us to, and what should be our response?
I think for every person, it's individual. I think it's very
Sure.
custom made, so to speak. Everybody's purpose and calling in life is very unique. And I think over time, the Lord reveals that in many different ways, whether it's through time in prayer and scripture reading. When the Lord prompts you in your spirit, whether he uses confirmation from other people to help guide you, if you have friends or people within the church that you really respect and value, people who are solid in their own faith and are, spiritually grounded in a way that is the way that it should be. But I think sometimes the calling doesn't happen super clearly, and I think we have to be really seeking the Lord daily and patiently, there's the theme, patiently waiting for that guidance. And the Lord, I don't think, is going to necessarily just put it all on one platter and say, this is everything. I think it comes a little bit in piecemeal as we are obedient to each step of that calling. It's a journey, it's that marathon that I love to, I use that every time I can do so. It's a step by step, and so you reach one benchmark and then another benchmark and then another benchmark. And I think it's just being aware and present and seeking and looking and learning and growing. I think that's how we figure out what the calling is, and learning how to differentiate the Lord's voice in your life versus that of the enemy versus
Oh, yeah.
distracting noises. It
Yep.
takes a lot of wisdom and practice. You have to be very intentional in it. That's all throughout scripture of, individuals who in their entire lifetime sometimes don't discover their calling until much later in life, or they go through a bunch of trials and tribulations in the process to get there. And yet God does reveal, and he's faithful for that. But these people were also faithful in seeking him through each of those stages and steps of that journey.
Yeah, what's amazing to me is how many Christians can live their entire life and not only not know what their calling is, but not really even give it much thought. That's an amazing thing to me.
That's sad to me.
Yeah, it really is, because when we look at these biblical accounts, it doesn't matter if we read early on in the scriptures of the stories of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, or if we read about the history with Moses and the nation of Israel, or the prophets, or the disciples who would later become apostles, and then they would begin their apostolic ministry. They all were called to specific things and with specific people or people groups. Now, this is not to say, because people, I think, are big on misnomers, and there's so many of them within our Christian world. And one of them is that whenever we a calling is referenced or spiritual gifts are discussed, people get into thinking, oh, the big ones, the quote unquote big ones, right? Preaching and teaching and evangelism and those kinds of gifts. And they think that those are the only spiritual gifts. Well, no, there are the gifts of helps or service or giving or mercy. There are a number of gifts. And within those gifts, God's gifted every one of his children to do something, to contribute to the kingdom of God. And yet people don't tap into that. They don't even think about it. It's not even on their radar. And that is so sad because here Paul says, I beg you. He's begging the Ephesians. He wrote this from jail, by the way. So think about the context of this letter. He's not writing this out of the comfort of his study or even within his tent or anything like that. He is in a cold, damp, very smelly, very pitiful set of circumstances that he's in. And he's writing this letter and he is thinking of them. He's not thinking about his own circumstances, how he is probably soiling himself because he's got no place to go to the bathroom, or how he's extremely hungry because he probably goes for days without eating, or it's incredibly cold because of the type of season that it is. He is saying, I beg you to lead a life worthy of your calling. That speaks volumes to me. That is very humbling to me that this man would think of people that he cares about and loves so deeply and is begging them to live a life worthy of his calling. He mentions the calling because it is so important. That's why I lead the questioning off with this. One's calling is so important. You are a speech therapist, not only by trade, not you don't just do this for a job. This is your calling. You can't imagine doing anything else. That's why you're looking to start your own business with it. Anybody that's looking to start their own business is because that's what they're really into, right? I can't help but to believe that. But you really want to help people with their speech, with their linguistics, with all the things that come with, speaking more proficiently and efficiently. And that's your calling. Anybody that knows you can identify your calling. Okay? Anybody that knows someone in their life and they live, eat, and breathe something that they do, and they're looking to serve the Lord in it and with it, you know that that's their deal, But that is a small sliver. That's a very small percentage of the Christian world that lives that way, because I can't count how many people I've talked to or that I've known, and they have a job, they pay the bills, they go on vacation every so often, they buy some stuff, they have their hobbies, but a calling is so far removed. The concept is so far removed from their thought process. What is the connection now? I want to ask now a follow-up question, and we're going to kind of build a bridge from verse 1 to verse 2 here. What is the connection between our calling and the principle of patience? Yeah, you laugh. I figured you're going to get a chuckle out of that.
Oh, because sometimes the calling isn't clear initially, and sometimes the calling is a long time coming.
It's a
So,
process.
yeah. So The Lord placed it on my heart to pursue speech and language pathology in 2013 while I was home
Which is
recovering.
12 years ago at the time of this podcast episode, just to let people know that this didn't just swing through your window last week sometime.
No. While I was sitting home recovering from a severe car accident, I was out of work almost 8 weeks following a rear ending of my friend's vehicle. And anyway, I'm sitting home, can't work, can't move, really quite down and out for a bit. And just, I had a friend who spoke that word into my life because I was just feeling like I'd gone into education and I thought that was my initial calling and that didn't happen. And the Lord made it very clear to me that that was not the door I was supposed to walk through because every opportunity, every interview, every job opening that I applied for or went and interviewed for, it nothing ever happened. And I finally got it, after like the 20 at the door slammed in my face. And all right, Lord, maybe this isn't the exact direction that I thought you were taking me in. And I had a friend who said, have you considered speech and language? It really is everything that you like to do and you're passionate about wrapped into kind of one nice little package with a red bow on top. And I was like, I don't know. She was like, just do me a favor and research it. So I did, while I literally had nothing else to do because I was stuck home, got on the computer and researched it and researched it and researched it. And I prayed about it. And I really felt the Lord was like, this is where you're going to go. And so then looking at the process, I had like 16 prerequisite courses that I had to take before I could even apply for grad school. So I had like 3 years worth I basically had to catch up with to do part-time. So it was 3 years of prereqs, and then I had 3 years of grad school, and then I also had 3 rounds of applications for grad school. So I knew that the school that I ended up actually graduating from was the one I wanted to go to, and I was waitlisted my first year of applying. And I was accepted to another school and decided I didn't want to go to that one. So I waited a whole nother year, took some more classes, and reapplied. And got accepted. And so there were times that I was like, Lord, I know that you're calling me to this, but this feels like a lot. This feels like a long time to do this. And the Lord just kept saying, do you trust me? Do you trust me? Do you trust me? Yeah, I guess so, because I'm in it to win it kind of deal. Like I'm there is no turning back from this, and I'm too stubborn sometimes. I think that's my problem. Too stubborn to like back out. But it's been a long time coming. It was, 16 or not 16, 6 years, 6 years after I graduated, I started my master's, and then 2.5 years later graduated. So it was a long process, and it was a lot of just trusting that the Lord was leading me, even though there were times I wanted to give up and say, this is just too much. It shouldn't be taking this long. These are too many. You're asking too much of me, Lord. And I'm so glad that I waited the year to return to the school that I wanted to, because I've made friends that I've kept that'll be for life, and I have experiences that I cannot replace. And I have been doing now speech therapy as a professional, fully licensed for 7 years, and pursuing my business. And talk about another act of patience and waiting for a calling, like. My business was formed in 23 and we're going at 25 and things are slow and it's not moving as quickly as I thought it would. And again, Lord, is this really what you want me to do? Again, do you trust me? Yes. So just taking one day at a time and just pursuing it and trusting that and being obedient to that. And it's a lot of like, not me, Lord, more of you, because
Yeah.
I would just walk away from this
Well, you
from
were
that.
talking earlier about connection and you kind of reiterated it there. And so when I think about the bridge between our calling and the principle of patience, our calling is for the body of Christ. It is for the family of God. And that's what Paul, I think, was after here with the Ephesians, because he wanted them to be so tight-knit. We're going to get more into that when we hit verse 3 here in more in depth. But he was after their connection. He wanted them to be a tight-knit group. And so our calling is integral to connection or that fellowship within amongst us as Christians. And so when we talk about becoming a more patient people, it is individually based, but it is not strictly for the individual. It is for the building up of the body. Because as one person develops patience, it's going to naturally affect others. And then they are going to develop more patience, and then they're going to impact others yet within that community of believers. And that's what Paul, what I think, was after. When someone, this is why a calling is so important, and being able to identify what someone is called to. Because when you identify the calling and you serve the Lord in that calling, that you know beyond a shadow of a doubt that you're doing exactly what the Lord wants you to do, kind of like with me being the founder and the MC of Keeping It Real, it is doing exactly what God wants me to do, but then also for the edification of the body. I'm constantly dishing out this content. This content isn't just for a select few. This is for whoever and whomever is willing to listen and read and be tuned in and locked in to the Keeping It Real network. So there is a bridge between the calling and the principle of patience. So now, how is patience kind of now? Let's do a quick sidestep here to this question. How is patience such a relatively unknown in our current microwave and fast food and techno on-demand saturated culture that we live in?
We live in a culture of instant gratification and a lot of individual instant gratification. So, when you were talking to piggyback a little bit just for a second, what you were saying previously in patience and connection and your calling, I think a lot of society as a whole, as well as within the body of Christ, really struggle to identify that because we have become so isolated. And everything is me, me, me. What do I want? How do I benefit from this? What corporate ladder can I climb up? And it doesn't matter who you hurt or who you step on in the process to get there. And that's so counter to what, Paul was preaching in these brand new baby churches. And he was taught that because there was a lot of division, there was a lot of internal fighting and, people jockeying for power and like, well, and who do we listen to and who do we, do we follow these teachers versus this teacher? And people were losing sight of the gospel of Jesus at that time. And Paul's like, whoa, 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 hold up here. Like, hush up. Listen up, this is what needs to be done. And in this culture, and this is how the devil wants it, he wants you to be splintered and separated. And it's because it's so opposite of the very community-based churches that started following Christ's ministry and death and resurrection. And Paul really talks about coming together. And when you're with people all the time, your need for patience really has to take hold and be well practiced.
Well, and we see this in so many instances, don't we, Tatiana, in scripture? You cite, right after the church was birthed and how that already kind of was starting not shortly thereafter. But then when we see the local community of believers in the different towns, even within Corinth, what were they saying? Some were of Apollos, some were of Peter, some were of Paul, and then the real spiritual ones, I'm of Jesus, you know? So they all kind of had their rivalry, sibling rivalry going on, shall we say. And we're going to get to that a little bit here in a minute. You fast forward now to the current time, and this is why we have all of these formulated denominations and sects within denominations and all of these different people that hold so tightly to theological banks. And it has separated the body. And it's, you used the word earlier, very simple word, simple three-letter word, but it applies here, I think, as well. And that is, it is very sad that here we have, if we've got people who have come to a saving knowledge and a heart that's been given over to the Lord Jesus Christ, there is access to incredible riches and grace and treasures within the kingdom of God that go exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, to quote the prior chapter in Ephesians, Ephesians 3. And we have a Christian world that is at each other. And it's a terrible testimony. So I echo those sentiments. Now, moving along, a little bit of a fun part here of this episode of the podcast. Patience deals primarily with relationships. How do we exhibit patience with some of these following groups of people? Okay, it kind of a little rapid fire. We don't want to spend too much time on each of these, but how do we exhibit patience with trolls? Troll being a person, for example, on social media, it's not nearly as prevalent in the current day with the algorithms they have in place now. You're lucky to have 0.5% of your followers see something that you put out there. But in years gone by in social media land, you had trolls that would just like follow your content and blow up your feed with all kinds of just
Ridiculous.
stupid things. But trolls still exist today. How do we exhibit patience with trolls?
I just don't engage with them.
Yeah.
They're not worth my time.
Yeah, that's
I know
probably the
it
best.
sounds harsh, but no thanks.
Yeah, that's probably the best way or the most wise way to handle a troll. How about tools? People that are just
I don't
really
engage with them either.
okay.
You know what? There are certain people, and I guess I'm just gonna just kind of give a broad umbrella. There are certain people who you're not gonna change their mind, so it's not worth arguing. If you can have a constructive discussion and a conversation, sure. But in social media land, people like trolls and tools and people who are just looking for an argument, there's nothing constructive coming from that, and it's a poor use of your time and your energy. And my point is like, you can, if you want to sit behind your screen and say all you can say, fine, but I'm not going to give you the satisfaction of giving you a response.
In face-to-face interaction, yeah, trolls I will ultimately not engage with, completely ignore. A tool I may give a very casual attempt just to kind of maybe see where they're coming from. And
It's a
then
little, yeah.
if they can step off of being a tool and come into some kind of realm of common sense, then maybe they're worth a few minutes. But if not, same thing. How do we exhibit patience with skeptics?
You gotta sit down and take time to really hear them out and try to understand where they're coming from in regards to their skepticism, and not immediately go into argumentative mode of like, well, my way is right and this is why you need to believe it. It with skeptics, it's a really good practice in listening, being quiet first and listening and then addressing, and trying to answer their questions in a way that's constructive and maybe reveals a few things for them that they may not have been aware of. Oh, you know what? I hadn't thought of it that way. Or, and you may learn something listening to someone's other point of view. So listening first and before.
That's a great word of patience for all of us listening to you. Skeptics, this is what I've come to find. This isn't universally true, but generally true. Skeptics of the Bible, and most more specifically of Jesus Christ, have been hurt somewhere along the way.
A lot of church hurt, probably.
And when, if there can be an opportunity to tap into that hurt, and attempt to not only empathize, but then also minister to that hurt, then there's opportunity there.
Absolutely.
How do we exhibit patience with seekers?
I think it really depends on what they're seeking. So if they're seeking the truth versus seeking out an argument or an opportunity to be confrontational, I think you have to kind of take the temperature, so to speak, of the situation. Every individual encounter is, it's not a one size fits all approach.
Right,
Again, I
for
think a
sure.
lot, same thing even with the skeptic. I think it's taking time to listen and really hear them out, and then connecting with them on a personal level first and saying, listen, I understand, where you're coming from this, I've been there, and this is what I have found in my own seeking. and then lead them to scripture. You know, if they're seeking specifically something regarding to, you know, biblical truth, then you take them to the scriptures and say, like, these are the passages that I found really enlightening or comforting or you know, revealing for me in regards to those times in my life when I wasn't sure about things, and then allow them to continue the seeking engagement. You know,
Based off of, I think, what they're seeking for. I think that is the substance for the seeker, is what are they after? Based off of what they're after, that'll determine
absolutely.
how we can minister to the seeker.
Yeah.
Finally, one more. How do we exhibit patience with sibling rivalry? More
Well,
specifically, brothers and sisters in Christ.
I was gonna say, I don't
Obviously.
have
No,
siblings
no, no, no. I'm not talking about
in
biological siblings. I'm talking about sibling rivalry amongst the family of God or those that claim to know Jesus Christ. We alluded to it earlier in our discussion, but now more pointedly, how can we exhibit patience in amongst sibling rivalry?
Well, scripture really outlines a good approach to that, and that is to, if you go to make a sacrifice and you remember that you have an issue with your brother has an issue with you, you go and you speak to them and you have a one-on-one conversation and you address a potential issue. And if that issue can't be resolved with just the two of you having a conversation, then you go and get a third person who's wise, who can provide wise counsel, and you share the issue. And then if that issue still can't be addressed, then you go and you take it a step further. It's really important to approach it, though, in love and in a way that is demonstrative of Christ. And so, you know, when Jesus dealt with his followers, dealt with his disciples, dealt with his own siblings, he did so with an extraordinary amount of patience, an extraordinary amount of compassion, but also did so with a lot of wisdom. And he was not going to compromise in any of that as well. So I think every situation is different. The catalyst for every situation is different. And I think you have to be very sensitive to whatever has caused the issue, and really just be prayerful and mindful of like how the Lord wants you to address that, particularly within the church.
Yeah, I love you read from the New Living Translation in the Ephesians 4 passage earlier. I love what the New Living Translation says, or how it puts verse 2, which says, you know, Paul again stressed in verse 1, I beg you to live a life worthy of your calling, right? For you have been called by God, he says. And then verse 2, always be humble and gentle. Be patient with each other, making allowance for each other's faults. I love that. The other translations use bearing one another with love. That's kind of the popular phrasing there, which that's fine. That's good. But I love how this one puts it, making allowance for each other's faults because of your love. That bleeds of forgiveness, grace. That's how we got saved. That's how we even got introduced to be in Christ and to be a child of God.
And
And
that is,
now he's telling them, you, as the way how Jesus views us and how he treats us and rolls with us, that's how it should be reciprocated amongst one another.
and it's not done very well within the church.
No, it's not.
If
Because
there are people that
again,
can.
the disputes just pop, the sibling rivalry pops up so much about everything and anything under the sun. And, you know, and it goes to show how distant or how disconnected so many folks are from the scriptures. Because you can't read this and go, wow, you know, I've got to exhibit a patient spirit with people that I might have disagreements with, or people that don't believe it, you know, they don't dot my their eyes exactly like the way how I dot my eyes. Now, we're not talking about false teaching or false doctrine. We're not talking about something crazy where somebody doesn't believe that Jesus was the Son of God or something like that, or they don't believe that the scriptures are the inspired word of God. We're not talking about something crazy like that. We're talking about all of the beliefs out there, and there are thousands of them that don't, I've spoken about this before on this podcast. I'll speak about it again. There are so many issues that are made to be so prevalent within the Christian world, and they do nothing for the family that the primary breadwinner has lost a job and they don't know how they're going to pay the bills, or they're sitting there eating a meal and they don't know if they're going to be able to afford the next meal, or they have a loved one that's been diagnosed with cancer and has been given a year to live and they don't know what's going to come of that situation, and there's a ton of pain and heartache going through the lives of those family people. These issues that are going on amongst sibling rivalry do nothing for those folks. So this is why patience is such a huge commodity within life, within the Christian life, and it's a ever crazier world, and being level-headed within this ever crazier world is definitely a very valuable thing for us to grab a hold of as we pursue Christ. Again, a major theme of this podcast is revealing Christ as the answer to the issues of life. And one final question here, TD, before we finish up here in this episode of A Test of Patience today, what say you to the impatient soul who has given up on God's loving, providential plan for their lives, or at least an aspect of his plan for their lives? And you can answer that for the disgruntled, hardened Christian, or you can answer that for someone who maybe has never come to faith in the Lord to begin with.
Well, first and foremost, I can relate and not alone in that. So, I've been a Christian. I came to know the Lord when I was 7. That was when I was saved initially. And but 30 years later, which I can't believe I'm saying that, how many years that was. It's been a long time. There have been many periods in my life where I doubted God and I got frustrated and I got angry at the things that I felt were unjust in the things that were allowed to happen or the things that didn't happen or the loss of friends and family that felt so cruel and unfair, or for example, not getting a teaching job like I thought I was supposed to, because that was like, Lord, that was where, I was so certain that's where he had me. I get it. I've been there. And Christian or non-Christian, you're going to go through periods of your life where you're just so uncertain and things feel like they're moving so slowly or they're not moving in the direction that you want them to move. However, God has been faithful even in the midst of my disobedient heart or my want to do things my own way or my impatience or my frustration in reminding me that he's still working. And so if you are, if your heart is hardened towards the Lord, I just pray that you would not allow it to remain that way. Seek, if there are answers that you are seeking and you haven't, continue to look. Grab a Bible if you don't have one and start reading through. I recommend you start reading through the New Testament. John might be a book to start in. And just continue to seek and talk to God. It doesn't have to be anything fancy. You just, express your frustrations. He'll answer you. He will, or he'll put people in your life who can speak that truth. Continue seeking. For the individual who maybe doesn't know the Lord or hasn't even tried and you're curious, again, open up a Bible, listen to a Christian podcast. Hey, we're right here. Just start asking those questions. It's a no until you start asking.
Well,
That's my
and I was actually just gonna close real quickly with, the people that are part of the Keeping It Real family, as I call it, who are the conversation partners to this podcast. All of us have endured our fair share of battle scars.
Oh, yeah.
We have not, this isn't like, we were born in a home with a white picket fence and we had peace and serenity and all kinds of blessings and all kinds of peace and quiet and all kinds of privileges and things. I mean, we've had our fair share of blessings for sure, but we've also had our fair share of battle scars, all of us. And all of us have had different ones, but they've all, God has used those to mature us, whether if it's in the form of abuse or drug abuse or hardness, bitterness, we've all been there. And even to this day, I use that phrase, graduate with a summa cum laude. I don't think any of us would venture to say that we've done that. We haven't fully arrived, but we praise God that we are nowhere near the people that we used to be. And God has revealed himself, shown himself. We have responded to his work and how he has worked in our lives with such abundant love and with incredible goodness. And that's what I would recommend for those listening is get a hold of this rich content. If this is the first episode that you've listened to the Keeping It Real podcast, my question is where have you been? Okay. This is episode number 78. All right. So there are 77 other episodes to binge listen to, and the content is very rich. And then on the website at KIRadio.com is a weekly blog. Tatiana contributes to that. I write on that. And they are weekly articles that take less than 5 minutes to read. But again, the content is rich. It is not a lot, any stale, dull, boring kind of stuff that's not worth anybody's time. This is real, where the rubber meets the road kind of stuff with tons of biblical, not haphazard, not careless biblical application, real substantive biblical application to the real issues of life. That's what I would recommend for people to turn to. And until next time, God bless everyone.